Blog Talk Radio.
The merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst. And I greet all of you, the listening audience, those of you who have joined us via telephone and in the chat room, as well as our distinguished panelists and hosts, in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to bring before you today one of the brothers who has certainly been the backbone of my nation, and particularly my beloved brother Kareem Muhammad, all the way from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, brother Kareem. Are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you so much for that wonderful, wonderful introduction. Thank you,
yes,
Queen Aziza, as always, for the opportunity to be of service, because for me, that's what it's about, to be of service. It's not about celebrity. It's not about people knowing who I am, because without Allah, God, and my service to him, I am nothing. Well, thank you very, very much. And this is Conscious Black Nation. We're on every Monday by the will of Allah at 8 p.m. What we do here at Conscious Black Nation is this, a nation building network, period, but particularly here on Conscious Black Nation, is that we discuss issues. We discuss things, problems, if you will, that plague us as a people, that keep us from rising and truly living and enjoying life as we should. But we not only discuss the issue or the problem, we provide solutions that individuals can apply in their everyday life. Practical application of God's word. And with, on that note, anyone that knows how this program goes, you know, I don't waste any time. And we always begin everything in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of his last and greatest messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of the divine reminder given to us by them both, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet the entire listening audience, our distinguished panel, as well as you, Queen Aziza, with the greeting words of peace and paradise. In the Arabic language, we say it, Assalamu alaikum, which simply means peace be unto you from Almighty God, Allah. So, our subject tonight, we're going to answer. I may be being a little bold about it, but we are going to answer because we don't do no attempts here. We hand out practical application. We are going to answer the question, what's love got to do with it? That's our subject tonight. And anyone who's my age or maybe even a little younger will remember that Tina Turner had a song entitled, very popular song entitled, What's Love Got to Do with It? Because many people latched on to that as their theme song, you know, because they've been heard of. This is the way the situation is. It seems like it doesn't work out. You know, so what does love have to do with anything? That was the attitude. And just a little history on the song. If I'm not mistaken, it was on the album Private Dancer. Tina Turner originally did not want to do the song herself. She wasn't interested in it. However, her manager, I believe, at that time, convinced her to do it because this would have been her first album coming out from Ike, from that situation. And they knew and they felt that it would propel her career forward, and it actually did. But again, like I said, she wasn't interested in the song because that's not her view on life. Now, to move forward and begin the program, just to lay some base for what we're going to discuss tonight, reading from the Bible, the book of Psalms, chapter 92, verses 1 and 2, it states, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to shew forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Second, coming from the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And finally, from the Bible, something that hopefully everyone is familiar with, it comes from 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, wherein it states, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass, as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That being the case, I've read that. Now what I want to do is have our illustrious panel begin to introduce themselves. And I'm going to, as always, stick with a Western tradition. And I want to have, first and foremost, the queens on the line introduce themselves. So, Sister Victoria Miller, please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Sister Victoria, you there?
Okay, I'm here. I'm sorry. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Victoria Miller. I'm a married mother of two young children. Currently just at home taking care of my babies and wanting to learn more about the truth and being enlightened as a person of color.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for joining us this evening, taking time out of your busy schedule. And Sister Rhonda Etchers, would you please introduce yourself and tell us something about yourself?
Hello, my name is Rhonda Etchers. I'm a mother of five, two stepchildren, and I'm an at-home mom, also with a home business of cake decorating, and I'm here to be enlightened.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very much for your participation in this forum and taking time out of your busy schedule to come and share it with us. All right. Now, these next two individuals, these two brothers, they really need no introduction. However, just come forth and let them know you're on the line, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, first, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, locating the person of Master Farah Muhammad. I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his exalted Christ. They left us a man, a living testimony of love, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their names I greet our family in the tongue of all the prophets, saying peace, assalamu alaikum. My name is, again, Brother Eddie X, humbly serving here in the city of Augusta, Georgia. James Browntown is a student, prison reform minister, as a brother, and as a friend of black people, and I'm, by the permission and will of Allah, his servant in our midst, and I'm here to spend some time with the family and add a little 2 cents to the message of love tonight that I think is, well, needless to say, lacking, but is the most important message. I guess that's a good enough introduction, I guess.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you very, very much, Brother Eddie, for taking time out of your busy schedule, out of your life, to come and join us in this forum. And now, our brother, the Brother Walter, please introduce yourself, sir.
Yes, sir. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who came in the divine person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever. I bear witness the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his greatest servant, the exalted Christ, and I bear witness the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and our miss, and I greet everyone with the greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum. I'm Brother Walter Muhammad out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by way of Willingboro, New Jersey, study group, and I'm just ever so thankful to be a participant in the show today, and by Allah's grace, to take part in this discussion that, as Brother said, we're going to make a strong foundation for what's love got to do with it. So thank you, Brother Kareem, and Nation Builder family, and all the listeners of the Nation Builder community. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And, of course, with us is our beloved protocol director. You could just say our everything, Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad. Yes, ma'am. You there with us?
Assalamu alaikum, family. Yes, I am. I'm right here.
All right. Let's kick it in. All right. Well, as they say, let's kick this hard and get it started. Now,
it's bad.
The scriptures that I just read, and particularly the one, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, you notice it uses the word charity. And so I did a little research because I am a word person. I'm into what they call philology, meaning the true meaning, the depth, and actually the source of words. And I found that the word charity comes from a Sanskrit word. Okay, now, and for those who don't know, Sanskrit is a language. It's one of the oldest languages on the planet. I'm going to just say it, it's a black language. It's what the Indian, or quote-unquote, or what you would call Hindu scriptures are written in. Some accounts tell us that the language goes back thousands of years. There are other accounts that say the language goes back to the millions of years, and there are even other accounts that say that the language goes back so far that they don't know when it began, if that sounds familiar. Anyway, in Sanskrit, which is where the word charity came from, it comes from a Sanskrit word called kama, K-A-M-A, which literally translated means love. And so we're going to start, and I'm going to ask you, Sister Rhonda, first question to you first. In your view, what is love?
To me, love is an unconditional, committed, emotional feeling that you have for yourself and as well as for someone else. Like a mother to a child, a wife to a husband, where it's deeper than most friendships.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right, I'm going to go to Brother Walter. Same question to you, Brother Walter. When I ask you what is love, what would you say?
Yes, sir. I would say love is an act of knowing, an act of doing, an act of believing, an act of giving, and it's a constant way of life, something that we have to, I guess, learn to do, something we have to accept being done for us and to us, and just something that, you know, I really can't explain it in a sense of anything scientific, but I would just say it's a constant act of doing and showing and proving and giving.
Yes, sir. That's fine. And I want to state this, okay, when it comes to this, here there is no quote-unquote wrong answer because we all view things from our particular level of development. And Sister Victoria, same question to you.
Well, I agree. I feel like love to me is a verb. And in order to love someone or something, you have to do something to show your love. You cannot just say the word. There has to be some actions behind it. It's what you do, you can feel, but it's more of what you do to show a person their importance to you, a person or a thing, or, you know, maybe even your passion, whatever it is that you like to do, you know, whatever you put forth your effort in, is your way of showing your love for it or them.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right, moving. Brother Eddie, same question, brother. What is love?
Yes. Yes, sir. Wow. Well, love, as I would attempt to understand it, is that intangible but ever necessary involuntary motivator that causes us to move proactively in the benefit of anything or anyone that we have claimed as our own. If we love our child, we don't have to say that we love them. We don't have to convince ourselves to do what we do for them. It is a natural motivating force, so that when we say we love our child, we naturally do those things for our child that is required to say that we love them. Love is that which follows, as Sister Victoria says, follows activity. It is the spirit of action. And that's how what I would say is the best answer to that I can give for what is love, which is such a broad thing. But that's what I would, it is the motivating force of action. And if love is proven by action, and action is not proven by love, if that's making sense to us.
Right, praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And before I move on in the program, I want to also bring you in, Queen Aziza. Please, if you could, if I ask you what is love, what would you say?
Wow. In my opinion, love is that duty and that obligation that does not feel or, how can I put it, does not compel us to make it feel like a burden. Is I have to kind of come back behind Brother Eddie and everyone who spoke before me, but it's the action. It's more than just the verbal expression or even the physical expression. Love endures all things. So we take the good with the bad, the bitter with the sweet, the ups with the down, the rich with the poor, the sick with the well. It endures everything. And love is something that you don't put boundaries or build perimeters around. In its true sense, it's supposed to be unconditional. But unfortunately, in our society today, it appears that all love is conditional. So that's what love is to me, Brother Kareem.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
I wasn't ready.
That's fine. That's when it comes from the heart, as they say.
All right. Like Kevin Hart saying, I wasn't
all praise
ready.
Is due to Allah.
Right. All right. So, and I want to say that the answers that everyone have given are excellent. Like I said, there are no wrong answers where this is concerned, because, again, we're coming from the various perspectives based upon our own personal experience. Now, what I want to share with the panelists and with the listening audience is this, is that from what I can see, from my experience, the word love today, I mean the word now I'm talking about, has become a catchphrase. People use it interchangeably, really to mean a lot of different things. The majority, for example, one of the examples I will use is individuals will say to another, oh, I love you, when in reality what that individual means a lot of times is I lust you. This is what it is. Now, however, lust, bear with me, lust of the man for the woman or the woman for the man is an aspect of love. It's an aspect of love. However, it's not love. For if there was not a lust or a desire of the man for the woman and the woman for the man, then we wouldn't procreate. We would not come together and reproduce or continue to move forward, keep the species going. So it's an aspect of love, but it's not love. However, many people, because of how this, particularly because of how this society promotes it, they believe that that's what it is. Also, on another level, individuals become attached to one another. Again, attachment is an aspect of love, but attachment isn't love. For example, you have those situations where an individual is in an abusive relationship, and usually we're talking about a woman. However, there are times when there's a man in the abuse, he's on the end of the abuse. But usually we're talking about a woman who is in an abusive relationship, and everybody says, girl or woman, why don't you leave him? And she'll say, but I love him. After he just got through busting her upside the head for the umpteenth time. I mean, that's a form of insanity.
Go ahead.
You know, that's a form of insanity. So what we want to do is truly define love at its root. And in order to do that, I have done, again, some research. And I used Merriam-Webster. However, I also did some digging into the scripture to look at, and this is what I came up with. In the dictionary, it describes love as a strong affection for another, arising out of kinship or personal ties. Then it states it says attraction based on sexual desire, affection based on admiration, devotion to. Then it says a person's adoration of God, from the Latin libere, to please. Now that's Webster's definitions of love. However, from the statements, the grand statements that all of you have made, you know, I can see that you truly have a beam on this and understand what love is. Love is not just a word. Also, we have to get away from looking at love as an emotion. See, emotions come and go. Some I've heard emotions described as two or more feelings operating at the same time. And so you get an emotion or energy in motion. And once that energy in motion, that or those feelings have run their course, then that runs out. However, love in its truest form is endless. Love is an action word. It is a verb. It's not just about what I say. It is completely and totally incorporated into and tied up into what I do. For example, we hear individuals make the statement all the time, yeah, baby, let's go make love. What do you mean? What the majority of individuals mean, they mean let's go have sex. Is that making love? And we're going to get deeper into that as we continue our discussion. But no, that's not making love because, number one, since love is an action word, since love is described as a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, affection based on admiration, devotion to. See, when I'm devoted to you, that means I'm concerned with your well-being. I am taking actions to ensure that you, number one, are in line with your purpose for God, because why? I know what my purpose for God is and what my purpose to God is. That's why we're together. When we make love, to honestly make love, you make love 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds of the day. That's because that's all the time there is in a day. We round it up to 24 to make it easier to count. But everything I do, everything I say is love when it's designed not to harm you, but to help you, to build you. So that's making love. When it comes down to the physical aspect or the sexual aspect, that's the icing on the cake. However, we live in a society where individuals, they're not even interested in the cake no more. They don't want to bake the cake. They don't even want to go buy a cake from the store. They just want a big bowl of frosting and just keep eating it. Okay, but I'm gonna get past that now, and we're going to move on to our second question. And I want to start with you, Brother Walter, with the second question. And the second question is this: what is the difference between romance and affection?
That's a pretty good question, beloved. And we kind of touched on it off air a little earlier, but I'm gonna go with that basis of where we touched on it at. Venture to say that romance is the act of, you know, trying to woo someone for a specific thing or a specific purpose. Whereas affection is something that is ongoing, something that can be attached to a personality, to your actual being. If I wanted to romance someone, particularly for a specific interest that I may have had, it may not always be sexual, but it could be something in the way of just trying to gain advantage on something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with being affectionate, I can just be a very loving, caring, genuine, affectionate person on a friendship level, nothing romantic or sexually involved. So that's my pretty much my take on it, beloved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And Sister Victoria, same question to you.
Okay. Romance to me, being romantic is kind of a situational kind of thing where you kind of want to wine and dine somebody and, you know, you want to have a special evening or a special event. You want to make something, you know, more particularly special than most other days. But to me, showing someone your affection is, you know, being caring and loving towards that person all the time, because that's more of a display of your love for that person, how you feel. You know, you can, when you show your affection or when you're affectionate, you know, it's usually towards somebody that's very important to you, no matter what the circumstance is or no matter what the event is that's taking place.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. And Brother Eddie, same question.
Yes, well, I would have to follow right with what has been said of the difference between romance and affection. You know, romance, there's nothing necessarily long-lasting as, you know, to that. It's eventful. You know, we go out, we do something. It's the things that are romantic, things that have a particular appeal. So it's exciting, it's pretty, it's shiny, it grabs the attention. We can do a lot of romantic things, but affection is that which nurtures not just a person, but nurtures the connection between two people. To do the affectionate thing, to do those little things that make a person know on a regular basis that that you care about that person or people. You know, to be the affectionate person is to be personable, it's to be caring, it's to be to listening, it's all those things. Affection nurtures not just only the connection, but the human being. And it can be something, you know, a lot of us, well, if we ever study psychology, and I studied it in college, they would always talk about a person having issues based on not having affection growing up. Why? Because that affection, it nurtures certain important qualities in a person that that person needs to behold. But nobody ever sits with their shrink or counselor and says, I didn't get enough romance growing up. You know, they said, I didn't get enough affection. You know, so you may argue with your spouse that they may not be romantic. But the affectionate spouse wins over the one who's romantic all the time, but never shows any affection. You can put a price tag on romance, but you can't put a price on affection. No, the affection is free, and it means far more. But, you know, one, me buying a million roses may be more romantic than me just giving you two. But I can be an affectionate rich man, a romantic rich man, but I won't be as happy as the affectionate poor man. You know, the affectionate mother, the affectionate father. You know, these are the people that are remembered by their children and not resented. But you could have
I'll just pin the term romantic on the parent that has given the children everything, you know, it's the same principle. So that's what I would put the difference between the two. One is that thing that is necessary to not only build just the human being, but also the connection between human beings, or romance is just, it's the fun. As Brother Cream said, it's the icing without the cake.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. And Sister Rhonda, same question to you.
Well, to me, I think affection you can display to anybody and not be in love with them. You just meet somebody and can hug them and display affection to them, hug them, kiss them on the cheek. I think romance is more deep. I think it's you have to be more sincere and honest, and it has more. It's more meaningful to me. I think romance is deeper than being affectionate. I can be affectionate to just pretty much anybody, but you show more affection to those that you love, but you can still display affection to strangers. So, I'm not kind of opposite on that end. I think romance is putting more work in to make sure that the affection still goes on. It's not just icing to me. I think it's more necessary in certain type of relationships.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Like I say again, we are all responding from our view and from our experience. All right. Queen Aziza, do we have any questions? Anybody in the chat room? Anybody on the line?
Yes, I think you have one question on the line. Area code 540, your mic is live if you have a question at this time. Area code 540. Going once, going twice. Area code 540. Okay, I guess not, but let me remind the listening audience, for those of you who have a desire to ask a question or make a comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. For those of you who are joining us in the chat room, please type in your question or your comment, and of course we will ask or state it on your behalf. But that's all, Brother Kareem, for right now.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Queen Aziz. Thank you very, very much.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Now, based upon our last question, what is the difference between romance and affection? And like I said, everyone gave excellent answers based upon their view and their experience. Now, again, I did some research. I went into the words. I wanted to find out what they mean, what do they say they mean. And starting with the word romance, according to the dictionary's definition, romance is described as a medieval tale based on legend, chivalric, love and adventure, or the supernatural. Imaginary characters involved in events remote in time or place. An extravagant story or account that lacks basis in fact. From the Latin word Roman. And that's what they describe romance as. They also give another definition that says, to influence or curry favor by lavishing personal attention, gifts, or flattery. And that's how they describe romance. Now here, this is interesting to me, I looked up the word affection, which its root is in the word affect, which also has the same root as the word effect, and this is what it said. It said affection, a disposition or rare state of mind or body that is associated with love, fondness that goes beyond mere goodwill or friendship, to care and provide for one's security, protection, comfort, and emotional stability. Then they gave an example that says, affect, to incline or to influence, an effect to cause to come into being, to make. And then here was what was very interesting to me, both the words effect and effect are defined as do, just D-O, to do it. So that's, those are the definitions behind those. Now moving right along, I'm going to come right back to you, Sister Rhonda, and ask you this question. Since God is love, what does that mean to you?
God being love is unconditional. His feeling, his love for you is unconditional. You may do wrong, you may hurt him, displease him, but he will love you forever. And that's hard for us humans to do. But that's what I believe God is. So that's why you can be forgiven. You can get second and third chances. And just God's love is unconditional. Love is pretty much supposed to be unconditional among us.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. All right, I'm going to go to you, Brother Eddie. Same question. When it makes that statement and says God is love, what does that mean to you?
Wow. 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 No. When you asked me Saturday what I would be on the panel, I knew I should have took notes. you would ask such.
Sounds like, bro, like it's coming from the heart, black man.
Well, I'll say it this way, I think, with Allah's help. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that Almighty God created himself from the triple darkness of the universe. He was a single thought. And that thought began rotating, and that the strength of that thought, that word, as it says in the book of John, caused the matter in the universe to spin around it, and it, over eons of time, it formed himself. So to say that God is love, is a state of being verse. It means ever presently and equal to. God is love. So if God has the ability, or he created himself with a great force, a singular motivating thought. And the book of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Then love, as God is a thought, an involuntary motivator that brings into existence anything that is that thought. So when we say that we love something, we, like God, are that singular, unstoppable force that either brings that thing to existence, or it does or completes whatever that thought is. If I say that I love martial arts, I use myself, then my love for that causes me to involuntarily, through all pain, through all strife, toward any of the forces that are against me, as there were forces that fought God and the anarchy, or the lawlessness of the nothingness of the universe, through all of that, I bring into fruition the idea that I have of me being a martial artist because I love it. If I love my daughter, no matter what the forces that come up in her, in me, or in the world, I have an idea, I have a word, I have a thought. And that thought is the motivating principle that guides my love, that guides the force that brings into fruition through my affection, my activity, my teaching of my daughter, and makes her what I love of her to be. if I'm making sense.
So yes,
to say that God is love is to say that love is the most powerful force. So as Brother Kareem quoted, which he was right in line with what I was thinking as we were beginning this in such discussion with the book of 1 Corinthians, that if I have all of these things, but if I have not charity, I'm going to take up your little passion for words, brother, because it was wonderful, making my job easy. But if I have charity, which we know now is love, then without love, then nothing can come into existence. So the Bible teaches that God so loved the world meaning his world in his mind, that he gave his only begotten son, meaning he gave a special gift to bring into existence that which was the thought that was equal to him, because he loved it. So he is bringing in his world that love, that force, was the only thing powerful enough to bring into existence God's kingdom. So love is everything. Everything that God does is love. God is talking to Moses. He said, Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Your people will go through so much, but after that time, I will come. He said, I will send nobody. But at the end of time, in the time, he said, I will come. His love brought this about. His love is what changed or guides the avenues of time to bring about his will. It is love that made him raise up a man for black people in America. It is love that called Martin Luther King to give his life for what he believed. It is love that motivates everything in the universe. And it is love which brings about that which lasts an eternity. So the meaning of God is love is so very, very much. But if you read the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he says that Almighty God Allah loves us so much. He said Master Farad Muhammad loved us so much that he would climb a mountain 40 miles high to teach just one of us, that he would eat rattlesnakes to deliver us. This is love, and love is the only force that will resurrect a people who are referred to in the scriptures as dry bones, as the dead, as the carcass buried in a shallow grave in the north country. Love is God. Love is the will of God. So to know whether we love a person, the question is, do we develop God in that person, and do we do the will of God towards one another? Do we love one another enough to be gods to one another? And what is God? In our prayer, we say he's Rabbil Alameen. And Rab, as the minister teaches us, means it is an Arabic word that means one who causes to attain stage after stage until it reaches its eventual perfection. So to say that I love you, then I must do as God would do for you, to develop you, to nurture you, to grow you into that which God would mean for you to be, to love myself, would to adhere to his guidance, his principles, and his teaching, and his knowledge and wisdom to grow myself into what he would seek me to be. To love myself is to want to be a God. So the book says that ye are all gods, children of the Most High God, and love is the force. If love is God and God is love, then love is the force that nurtures and grows us from our state of infancy into that which is Godhood. That's what I will say on that.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. You certainly said a mouthful. I can't deny anything of that. And I want to ask you, Sister Victoria, same question. Since you say God is love, what does that mean to you?
I've been sitting over here trying to figure out how I could answer that question because it's, I mean, that's complex. Seriously, if God is love,
that's right.
Love is God.
Come on.
Love is magnificent being. And we have not seen love. I mean, not on earth. I mean, we get love. But to me, if God is love, then God is this constant, affectionate affect, this constant nurturing, forgiving, enduring, sacrificing, this, I mean, this source of magnificent, powerful affection. And in order for us to even be able to love someone or think that we love someone, we have to know God, and we have to know what love really is, or we have to be able to feel that love from God to understand how we can love someone else, love ourselves first of all, we'll love him first, then love ourselves, and then love another person. That's a very difficult question for me to answer.
Yes, ma'am. It's not, well, I mean, you did just fine. Like I said, again, we are all responding from our own view and from our own experience. All right, I'm going to move. Brother Walter, please, same question, my brother. Since God is love, what does that mean to you? Brother Walter.
Yes, sir.
You with me? Yes, sir.
I'm back. I was had a little technical difficulty, but I'm back by Allah's grace. I was just listening to all the wonderful answers that I was hearing. It inspired me to, you know, give a viewpoint if I'm still able to.
Yes, sir.
Okay, praise you to Allah. Yes, sir. You know, as I'm going off of the basically the comment that Sister Gidja had made, or Sister Aziza, Queen Aziza made, in regards to those qualities, I had a similar, basically I was jotting down some notes, and I had a similar answer, you know, and when we talk about God in relation to love, I think it's really the ability to create and then lay a foundation where someone can be reproduced into that which God created out of himself. And, you know, through that process is patience, nurturing, sustenance, evolution of self, the grace, the mercy, submission, trust, and ultimately, to me, reciprocation. Because it's hard to love something that doesn't reciprocate or give back. So those are some of the thoughts that I had in regards to God and love.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. All right, we're coming up to the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. However, before we do that, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, God is love. What does that mean to you?
Oh, I know you didn't go there. Oh, my goodness. Well, if I had to honestly answer that, Brother Kareem, I would say the demonstration of God's love and his example of love to us is our peace, our well-being, our fortunes, the beautiful things in the earth, the beautiful things that we are blessed to experience, all of the things that we consider goodness and righteousness is God's demonstration of his love for us. So when describing God is love, it is evident by the blessings that are bestowed upon us. And that's the short answer. And that's the only one I have.
Yes, ma'am. All praise to the Lord.
At this
time,
Brother Kareem.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now,
you could give a sister a warning that you go ask me a question so I can prepare.
Well, we want this all to be spontaneous now. Do we have any questions at this point?
Yes. Well, no, not anymore. They just withdrew. So, no, okay, we have one. Okay, they're back. Area code 334, your mic is live.
This is Brother Shaquille.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Am I too much feedback?
No, sir, you're fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you have a question, Brother Shaquille?
I was listening. I just came in. I caught the middle of it. What was being asked.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, you don't have a question at all?
No, ma'am, I'm listening. I have one focus, I guess.
Okay, all right, well, thank you for listening. Okay, so, Brother Kareem, no, we might proceed.
Yes, ma'am, praise be to Allah. Okay, and, you know, I asked that question, and again, everybody spoke from their experience how they see that. And in that very action. See, that's an example of love. That's an example of God is love. And as my brother Eddie mentioned earlier, I mean, when you look at it from this standpoint, the word is, in mathematical terms, represents the equal sign. So that means if I say God is love, that means, I mean, God equals love. So that means when you have an equal sign in mathematics, what's on one side is the equivalent of or equal to or has the same power as what's on the other side. There is no difference in them. So when we say God is love, that means that before I allow that word to come out of my mouth, yes, as Sister Victoria said, I need to understand who I am, who God is, what am I saying? As Sister Rhonda was stating, unconditional. What does unconditional mean? Some individuals will look at it and say, well, unconditional means that it has, there are no boundaries on it, that there's no criteria. That's true. Yet, even to have no criteria, and I know this may sound somewhat contradictory, but even to have no criteria means that it has a criteria. It simply means that the criteria is beyond the limits that I understand. When we say that God is love, taking that statement, let's go back to something we talked about earlier in the show, when individuals talk about making love. Now, to make something means to take existing material and to shape and to fashion it into a useful form for one's benefit. That's to make love. So if we're making love, and if God is love, and he is, then as we were speaking of earlier, then when I'm making love, that means in all my thoughts, all my actions, how I treat you, how I speak to you, allows me to now present, or let's say represent, God in everything, and particularly in our relationship. Now I want to move to the next question, which is going to get into, as we say, what our subject is tonight, what's love got to do with it. And question number four, I'm going to start with you first, Brother Walter. What are some examples that show the lack of love in ourselves, our homes, our religious institutions, and our communities.
Yes, sir. Some of the things that come to mind based on the question that was given, the first, as far as lack of love within self, is the knowledge of self. When you don't have a comprehensive knowledge of yourself, you don't know yourself. You can't appreciate yourself, and you can't evolve yourself. So that's the first, in my opinion, detriment when it comes to the lack of love when we're dealing with self. In regards to everything else, when you don't have a knowledge of self, then that usually can, and a love for self, that can lead into other things where you become to love others and love other things beyond yourself and put more emphasis on attempting to love things for things beyond yourself. Example given, maybe putting ourselves in bad relationships, you know, male to female, putting ourselves in bad relationships or making bad judgment calls in, you know, maybe job situations or marital situations, maybe going into religious institutions and not really loving self, you know, harming others in the name of God, you know, thinking that we're becoming more God-like. So those things can pretty much spread, you know, as far as we're able to take it, you know, with any type of relationship that we have, it becomes a sick imbalance, and we lose our identities. We lose a lot of things. We can't relate to our families properly. You know, we desire to have healthy relationships, but without that knowledge of self, you know, that could become very detrimental to all. That's what I have, beloved.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother, for your answer. And yes, Sister Rhonda, same question to you. What are some examples that show the lack of love in ourselves, our homes, our religious institutions, and our communities?
Well, first of all, I think that our lives affect our beliefs on our beliefs on things and emotional experience of love. So if you were raised in a household that was very loving and affectionate, you would require, or you would think that that is love, and that's the same type of love you would want to receive back. Some people think that love is materialistic by purchasing gifts, because that's all that they've known, or just being there in the vicinity of a household or whatnot, that's their version of love. So it's kind of different for each person. And in my experience, I think that I say I'm losing love for myself because I'm allowing certain situations or types of actions to be done towards me, and I'm not doing anything about it. So it's, I feel like I don't have love for myself if I'm letting myself stay in a bad situation. That's like one example. Or if I'm allowing myself to be disrespected by my kids, or, you know, things like that. But I think it goes, you know, the lack of love in oneself is all personal experience and what you allow. And you can't love your community if you're not doing anything for your community, if you're not loving your community. If you can't say there's lack of love in your religious institution if you're not being committed towards it, or you're not participating or doing what's required of you to do for others. So that's my feeling towards it so far.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And Brother Eddie, same question.
Well, I think I'll kind of follow up what Sister was saying and what I was saying before about love being the will of God. You know, if God is love and love is that which does as God does, it nurtures and develops human beings, the state of our community is proof and show enough that we don't have love or that we are lacking love. You know, the state, and it doesn't need to be, really doesn't need to be notated like that. We don't have love. We don't have a developed educational system. We don't have a developed community to where we can rely on one another. We don't have families that are predominantly whole with both parents and able to give both sides of what a mother and father should give to one another. We don't have institutions that we can rely on to send our children, to send our loved ones. We're lacking all of the things that love would produce. And we live in a society that is monetarily driven, but a society that is built on the care and love of human beings is endless. Am I making sense? You know, we don't have...
Yes, sir.
We don't have those things that will show that love is. So the Bible says that you can tell when a man has passed from death into life because he loves the brotherhood. And what is it to love the brotherhood? To love the brotherhood is to, again, as the Bible says, he who seeks to save his life shall lose it, but he who will give his life shall gain everlasting life. To devote one's time, to devote one's knowledge, to devote one's energy toward the betterment of his people. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that no man can rise above the condition of his nation. But look at our community. It's all of us trying to be the one crab that gets out the barrel. It's all about trying to be the one on the block that has that one material possession. It's all about being the one that has the best man or the one that has the best woman or the one that has the best house. It's all about being the one that has this and one that has that. So when you look at these types of conditions, then you know that love is lacking. Almighty God always comes to get not just one of his people, he comes to get all of them. The only value at all that any of his prophets had was that they worked for all of the people. The only value that Jesus had is because he was to be an example of a savior for all of God's people. The only thing, the only value that Moses had was because he went in to deliver all of the children of Israel. The only value that Abraham and Lot had was to go and find all of the righteous. So if we are not working for all, and we cannot say that we have love. We cannot say that we have a religion of love if that religion does not give us freedom, justice, and equality for all people. So when we read the back of the Final Call newspaper, when it says we want freedom, we want a full and complete freedom, we want justice, we want equal justice under the law, we want justice to apply equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. But we live in a society. We live in a world that was set up by white supremacy, by killing the darker and saving the lighter. We live in a world to where there exists a second-class citizen. We live in a world where sexism runs rampant. We live in a world where racism runs rampant. We live in a world where differences in theology spread and, differences in theology actively separates people. We live in a world where, well, hell, I don't need to really go much further, but for us to really look at, this world does not have love. The very condition that it's in proves that there is no love. And the condition of the world proves that we are in need of love.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Sister Victoria.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. It's your turn.
Okay. Well, well, he said a mouthful right there, but what I would say is the lack of love that I see comes, it begins with our foundation, the way we were raised, and the way love has been defined to us, you know, or it could be relationships that we've had that could either make us feel like love is a good thing. Some people feel like love is a bad thing because of the type of relationship that they may have been in. But I feel like a lot of times our circumstances in our life are what affect us, whether it be our job, you know, our relationships with our family or our significant other, our friends, and it can affect our self-worth as a person. It could either boost or take away from who we feel like we are. And, you know, a lot of times when those circumstances affect us, we kind of take it out on everyone around us and, you know, our environment. We tend to not care much about the other person. But if we're feeling good, if we have a good job, if things are going good, you know, we might be a little more kind to each other. But when things aren't going so well, you know, we treat each other bad. And that's kind of another way that we have a lack of love is, you know, when we get to a point where we kind of want to become a better person, we all start to realize, okay, I need to get closer to God and I need to do, you know, what's right. A lot of times we become self-righteous and we become judgmental of each other. And rather than trying to pick each other up, we put each other down. And that's how we push a lot of our brothers and sisters away from God, because they feel like, oh, well, if you call yourself a person of God, you know, I don't want to be like you. We push each other away. And I see that as a cycle as well. A lot of people who don't know God, they've been turned away because they met some hypocrite, you know, or somebody who was judgmental or just couldn't, put themselves in their shoes. You know, we've all been sinners. We all are sinners, you know. We'll never stop being sinners. And, you know, sometimes we forget that, or we forget our past, or where we've come from, or, you know, we forget that, and when we look down on the people who's kind of beginning. I feel like that's a lack of love being shown as well.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. We're rolling through. We 9:13. I want to share again with everyone, and this time I'm coming from... Yes? It's not Wednesday yet. And I want to share with you now from the Holy Quran Sharif, Surah or Chapter 3. And it's ayah of verse 31. And A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah, God, against the accursed shaitan or Satan. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, it states. It says, say, if you love Allah, and I'm saying God, because that's what that means, follow me. Allah will love you and grant, the pages don't want to separate, and grant you protection from your sins, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. Let me read that again so we'll catch the flow. He says, say, if you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you and grant you protection from your sins, and Allah is forgiving, merciful. And the one who is saying this is God himself, because this entire book, the Quran, is directly from the Lord of the world. The second thing that I want to read to you from the Quran concerning love is Surah 4, Chapter 107, entitled Al-Ma'un, or Acts of Kindness. And it reads, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, hast thou seen him who belies religion? That is the one who is rough to the orphan and urges not the feeding of the needy. So woe to the praying ones who are unmindful of their prayer, who do good to be seen and refrain from acts of kindness. That being stated, I want to share something with us from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad out of that mighty, mighty book, Message to the Black Man. So it's on page 32. If you have a copy, please go and read the entire section for yourself. I'm only going to read a portion of it because of time. And if you don't have a copy, I would suggest, strongly suggest you get one. It can't hurt. And this title, this chapter is entitled, First, Love Yourself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states here, he says, one of the greatest handicaps among the so-called Negroes, and for those who don't know, so-called Negroes, we call ourselves African Americans today, is that there is no love for self, no love for his or her own kind. This is not having love for self. This not having love for self is the root cause of hate, dislike, disunity, disagreement, quarreling, betraying, stool pigeons, and fighting and killing one another. How can you be loved if you have not love for self and your own nation and dislike being a member of your own? Then what nation will trust your love and membership? You say of yourself, I love everybody. This cannot be true. Love for self comes first. The Bible, the book that you claim to believe, says love the brotherhood. 1 Peter 2:17. Love one another, John 15:17. Love of self comes first. The one who loves everybody is the one who does not love anyone. So teaches the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, moving on to our final question. I want to start with you, Brother Eddie. And it is, having covered these different things, having covered and put out there the things that are examples of the lack of love, meaning the lack of God in our community, the lack of God in our life, because that's what it boils down to. When you ask the question, what's love got to do with it? Love has everything to do with it, because if God is love and love is God, how can we survive without God? I have a question. How do we begin to show genuine love for one another, to remove the ills we are suffering from? Give some examples, bro.
And once again, he asked me to carry the big animal. These questions.
Yes, sir. I'm
trying to think, you're the editor of the Final Call News. How do we begin? I think the best thing to do when you don't know is refer to the master. You know, love thyself. Well, what's the key to loving self? I think the way is to look at how the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teaching began. He started with the knowledge of self. And he taught us that the knowledge of God is the knowledge of self. You know, one of the reasons we can neglect ourselves is because we don't know self. You know, when you buy a car, and I'll use this example. You have a child. I'm more familiar with this example, per se. I've never had a new car. But when you have a child, and that child neglects something that you give it, the first thing we do, we get upset. Now, do you know what this is? Do you know how much that costs? You know, the child says, oh, well, I didn't know. Well, what's the difference between what you had and what that child, the way that child acted? It's because you knew the value of what that thing that you wanted to preserve is. We've all went into grandmother's house, and she had all those things that you didn't touch. the things that are wrapped in plastic and the furniture for everybody else. You know, and you knew that those things were valuable, so you didn't mess with those, otherwise your butt would be cut. Well, same with us as human beings, and specifically us as black people. We don't know the value of ourselves. So he came teaching us not a doctrine, but actual facts. The black man is God. He's the first man, and through him, all other people came. When you have the knowledge that you are the first to come directly from God himself, and the respect that you have when you have that type of knowledge. He taught us that a nation can rise no higher than its woman, that we must respect and protect the black woman. So when you have that knowledge, that she is the second self of God himself, then we know how to value her. Prophet Muhammad said that the mother is three times more valuable than the father after God
is
his messenger. So when we have that knowledge, we know how to treat our mother. So to instill love, which is the involuntary force that sets us on the course into godhood, we must know ourselves. And when we know ourselves and we know that we are God, and we have just answered the question, well, how is God is love, or to define that God is love, that when we know that, as the book says, that ye are all gods, children of the Most High God. Well, Minister Farrakhan put it, if you are a child of God, will you ever grow up? But this world, its institutions, its teachings stifle that process, because as this is Satan's world that he has established over the past 6,000 years, that we are to grow into God, that means we grow beyond him and upset his world. So he took from us the knowledge of self. He took from us our name, our language, our culture, and our God, and our religion. He took those things that will cause us to grow past and in the process upset and remove his world. So for us to reinstill love, we instill that knowledge that the black man is God, the real and the true understanding of what that means. And when you establish that you are God, that you are a God from the divine God, then you have at the same time established love for self. Then love for self, as the minister gives us in our study guide, self-improvement, the basis for community development. As we as individuals instill love, instill God in ourselves, then we have created a community of God, a community of love. And when we instill and create a community of love and a community of God, then we have created a state, a city, a state, a country, and a nation, and an earth of God. And this is the means by which God's kingdom is established. Because God's kingdom comes to fill his world, or fill the earth with God. This is the establishment of our love and peace over the earth, by filling it with people growing into God. Because Satan's world has been created by creating little devils. And when you fill the earth with little devils, then, as the Bible says, you can tell a man by his works. Well, the works of devilish men converted by Satan has created his world. God comes to give us love, life, and knowledge, which are all one and the same, to establish his kingdom. So this first step, to restate, to bringing us back to life, which is love, because love and life, as Minister Farrakhan teaches us, are one and the same word. Love and live are same word. So to have life is to have love of the brotherhood. To have life is to no longer be blind, deaf, and dumb, but to have knowledge of self, knowledge of God, and knowledge of your enemy, that you can avoid the traps, so that you may come out of her, my people, through people, that you be not partakers of her sins and her pleas. This is love, that God will come and give us the knowledge of self, and that by that knowledge of self, it is the beginning of the kingdom of God. So the book teaches us that the kingdom of God is in you. It is forever upon water. And the messenger teaches us that that water is the mind, the mind which resides in the brain, which sits upon water in the dome, the king dome of man. This is love. I'm sorry, I'll get carried away, but that is love, man. You know, to feel and look at a black person who live in the hood, and I told another child, I may not ever move out the hood. It doesn't mean that I live hood, that I am hood, but I bring to the hood life by means of knowledge, by means of the mercy and the coming of God. I see black people and I see love because I know who they are. So I have life because I'm looking at the people of God by changing how we see ourselves. That's how we begin the establishment of love in our communities. Do we do as Malcolm did? Malcolm X would not walk past the heroin addicts and the dope addicts without talking and speaking to them a word of life and love. None of the greats in our community, from Martin Luther King to Marcus Garvey to Farrakhan, will walk by our people without sharing a word of love and life. We have to love ourselves. And then through loving ourselves, then we may have the right privilege and resource to begin to help and love others outside of ourselves. But we must first love ourselves. And no man can rise above his nation or his people. The love of self is the love of every black man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. And then we can be qualified to assist, help, and love others. But you cannot love others if you don't love yourself. All you do is spread the sick infestation of self-hate into other people and into other communities. So let us first have the knowledge of self, and then we can say we have the love of self, and the love of self is the establishment of God's kingdom. I think I'll leave it right there.
Okay. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. And Sister Rhonda, same question to you. How do we begin? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Oh, I totally agree. I agree that to show love for one of them, you have to start with loving yourselves. And I believe you need to be a representation of what God wants you to be, like his light to other people. You have to, you know, start telling the non-knowers of God. And I'm a true believer of, you know, random acts of kindness and paying it forward. Just to, without having any motive behind it, just show someone love and you never know. It starts spreading like a disease and everything gets better a little bit at a time. So that's what I believe.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay.
Make that point. Make that point. You know how to say it in the mob. Make that point.
That's right. And but before I ask our next panelist, I want to say something to what you said, Brother Eddie, when you said that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches that love and life are the same thing. And this is something that was given to me. I have to say, I have to tell the truth. I cannot lie. And it was given to me by my mother, my only. Okay. And it was a way for me to understand in the simplest terms what love and what life are. When you say love is life's one vibration experience. And when you say life is love in full effect.
Go ahead.
So I'm just going to be that, you know, because like I said, I'm the host. I'm not finished. Yeah, it's not about my opinion.
I'm going to go ahead and let you know I'm going to borrow that phrase from you.
you go right ahead, brother. You say all praises to Allah.
So
all right.
We do.
Brother Walter,
go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I was just listening
so much of the wisdom that was expounded by the panelists, Brother Eddie and our sister yourself as well, Brother Kareem. It was just so much said. I just want to make it real simple. Basically, I'm reinforcing everything that everybody else already said, but my take is that love is showing gratitude for something that you could not sustain or give to yourself. And I'm going to leave it right there.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to feel that one, too.
Yes, sir. Praise you a lot. And Sister Victoria.
Hello.
Victoria?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We couldn't
okay.
hear you.
Yeah, I went out for a minute. Okay, it was so much said, but I need you to repeat the question for me.
Certainly, certainly. The question is, how do we begin to show genuine love for one another to remove the ills we are suffering from and give some examples?
Okay. And I'd like to request these questions prior to the show. I just want to add that in real quick. But
yes, ma'am. From now on, you will see questions.
We can begin to show our love towards each other by, first of all, knowing who we are and whose we are. I have just come into the realization that I was created in my God's image.
Come on.
So many of us are seeing this blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus, you know, and we really just don't know. I mean, and even if it doesn't sound right, we know that things don't sound right, but it's so hard to get to the truth when we've been lied to for so long. So I think when we all become aware of ourselves and who we are and who we were created to be in the very beginning, you know, we have more self-worth. We realize how important, how much we, you know, what we really are. I know I began to love myself way more when I realized, wow, you know, life, civilization began, you know, in Africa, the people look just like me. Their hair was just like mine. You know, I love my natural hair now. I'm just embracing me as I am. I don't wear makeup. I don't get a perm anymore. You know, I think if we just knew, you know, what we are, whose we are, we could begin to love ourselves so much more. And then we would love our people so much more. We wouldn't look down on each other and say, you know, all of us haven't arrived to the point yet, but, you know, rather than kind of looking down on each other, you know, we would, like, just put out a helping hand to each other, give each other some information sometimes, you know, tell them, you know what, read this book, or you might not even like to read. Let me just tell you a little bit about, you know, who you are so you can begin to love yourself a little more and treat yourself better, hold yourself to a higher standard. I think if we all just, I think the lack of information, the lack of the truth is what got us where we are. We were, our history and our language, our God, everything was just wiped away from us. And if we could begin to just start with that foundation of, you know, we could just be so much more to each other as a community and to ourselves, to our family. All right, there you go.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. I mean, all, again, I have to say, all, wonderful, wonderful answers. Okay. And I will say this myself. I mean, the question that I asked, and you all, like I said, all wonderful, wonderful answers. How do we begin to show genuine love for one another to remove the ills we are suffering from? And, of course, I said give some examples. And I'm not going to leave myself out of this one. And what I'm looking at myself is that one thing we can do that I can agree with everyone on is that I first have to love myself. And since, again, going back to the statement, God is love, that means that I've got to find God in myself. As my brother mentioned, in the scripture it says, it talks about what particularly was going on at that point in time, was that the disciples, I do modern translations myself, pretty much JC and the homies, you know what I'm saying? They hanging out. And they asked him a question. You know, they want to know, when are we going to see heaven? What is heaven like? And he turned to them, and the statement is made according to the scripture. He said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So since we're taught, or we believe, the majority of individuals, that God lives in heaven, he also made a statement. He said that this, pointing to the body, this form that we're in, he said, this is the temple of the living God. So that means that God resides in within each one of us. So, yes, I agree with everyone on the panel. You say the first thing I must do in order to begin to show genuine love for anyone else is first I got to love myself. That means I need to know who I am, both the positive and the negative. I'm not going to say the good and the bad, both the positive and the negative, so that I can bring about a balance and then eventually use even that negative, because it's just energy, to push me or propel me forward in my service of the Creator. That having been done, we were talking about the ills that we suffer from. The ills I'm talking about are egotism, inferiority complex. The evils or the ills I'm talking about is the lack of consideration and affection for one another. The ills I'm talking about are those who are in positions of leadership, fattening and feeding themselves as opposed to, as the scripture says, feeding the sheep. The ills I'm talking about, yes, we know, people will say, well, what about the drugs? What about the prostitution? What about the homosexuality? Well, it's real simple. Those are the symptoms of the disease. All those things show that we have a diseased mentality and a diseased society. The disease that we suffer from, the ill, the true ill that we are all suffering from, is rebellion against the will of God. And in rebellion against the will of God, the symptoms that we've just talked about in this broadcast come about. So, after learning to love self, and I'm going to close my comment on that question on this note. After learning to love self, then with a guide, guidance from the scriptures of Almighty God Allah, whether you're coming from the Bible or the Quran, as I've heard it said, the Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. I'm going to leave it at that. That being the case, then, I can go into this book with proper guidance, not trying to figure out all the supernatural, quote-unquote, things, but just going by the simple instructions given by the Master. I learned how to treat myself, and I learned how to treat those around me. And in that way, I can affect my community, because I, in effect, have been properly affected by God himself. But now, before we get to the end of this program, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am, praise be to Allah. I want you to share your view on this last question. How do we begin to show genuine love for one another, to remove the ills we are suffering from? And if you would, please give us some examples.
Well, in order to show love for one another, I have to agree with what has previously been said, is that we have to first have love for self. And once that is established, you learn to love that in which you can identify with. So once you start seeing your brother and your sister as that, as a god, as a goddess, as someone valuable, as someone who is righteous in nature, then that love becomes natural. It becomes automatic. You know, I love my brothers and sisters because I know who they are. I don't have to know them personally, but I know who they are. I know that they are of the original family. I know that they are created out of righteousness and out of the goodness of Allah. So naturally, I love all of you. I might not love what you do. I might not love some of the things you say. I might not love the way you act. But I love you because I know that in your nature you are righteous because the righteous God created you. You're not of the grafted one, so to speak. And when you love something, you care for it in a way that is, you know, where it seems valuable to you. You know, it's just like anything else that you say you love. When you have a child that you love, you take care of that child, you protect that child, you nurture that child, you shelter that child, you clothe that child. So you would do the same for your brothers and sisters who are in need in your community. You care about the people in your community. You care about your environment. You know, you will go down to city council when they're trying to build a power plant next door to you, or they're trying to tear down schoolyards or tear down parks or things of that nature that enhance your community. You stand up for those things that you love and that you appreciate. So I think that, you know, open dialogue and constant teaching of the value of self will motivate others to look at one another in the eyes of God and love one another for who we really are. But as long as we hang on to the slave master mentality where we're disliking one another because the texture of the hair or the fairness or lack thereof of the skin or because of class. You live in the suburbs, I live in what they call the hood, so I don't like you. You know, those type of things are designed. And those are the same things that they use to pit us against one another in slavery. We have to let those behaviors go. But the only way we're going to do that is that we have to first know who we are so that those that look like us, we can recognize them and show that love and share that value with them as well.
Yes, ma'am.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, ma'am.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. As far as I'm concerned, everybody on this panel been on fire tonight. You know, I'm cooking it.
Praise be to Allah.
That's right. Everybody on the panel has been on fire tonight because we've gotten, and that's what we have to have, whether anybody knows it or not. Everybody that has participated, even those who did not necessarily say anything. This is love because it says, the statement is made, where two or more are gathered in my name, meaning God, that I am in the midst. Now, let me clarify that. Now, when it says name, a lot of individuals think that means, oh, well, you all started the show in the name of Allah. Yes, that's one of God's names, pardon me. Or may start the show in the name of Jehovah or Yahweh. Or God has many names. But again, like I said, I'm a philologist, so I get into the root of words. And the word that is normally translated as name actually means the nature of. Because that is what our names are actually supposed to describe, that attribute, that nature of God that is in us. And so when it says, well, two or more are gathered in my name, yes, it means when two or more are gathered in my nature, in the nature in which I, meaning God, not me, created the universe, there he is in the midst. So, yes, right here, on Conscious Black Nation. For the past nearly 2 hours, we've been making love. That's what we've been doing. We've been making love because we are gathered together in the nature of God. This forum is one of the many ways that we can do this. However, when we get through talking and discussing these things, when we get through presenting these answers, then it is vital. And I'm going to say it like this, in the name of love. You remember the Supremes had that song. It was a very popular song. When I was little, it was Stop, in the name of love. And the way it was, Before You Break My Heart. And I'm going to just stop right there. Think about that. Stop what? Stop.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Abusing yourself. Stop what? Stop lying to yourself. Stop what? Stop being a hater of self. Stop what? Stop worshiping an image given to you by your open enemy as God. Stop what? Stop looking upon your woman as a pawn and a tool, as a slave of some type. Stop what? Stop treating your man as if he's nothing, as if he doesn't know anything. Stop what? Stop beating up on one another. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about in the verbal and even by our actions. You know those little, and I'm talking about the men and the women. You know those little slick things we do. We don't say nothing. But the person is asking us a question, and we know, I mean, they're right up in our ear, almost with a bullhorn, and we're gonna act like we don't hear what they're saying because we have an attitude that is improper. But like I say, the rest of the song goes, stop in the name of love. Well, since love is God, then it means stop in the name or in the nature of God himself. It say what? Before you break my heart. Now, this heart that's going to be broken, are we talking about the heart that's in the chest, slightly to the left because it's not in the center, which is really a pump? It's a pulmonary pump. What it does is it moves blood through the body. Every 8 minutes and 20 seconds to make a circuit so that our physical body can stay alive. So is that the heart is talking about? No, because this physical heart is just a pump. The heart that is talking about, because the word heart also means the center of. So when it says stop in the name of love or in the name of God before you break my heart, meaning before you break that connection to God that has me tied to you.
Right.
That's the heart is talking about, not breaking, because the center of my thinking, the center of all my activity should be first to please God. I learned this after many, many years of trial and error, you know, trying, and I use the word trying to do it what I consider to be my way, that as long as I was struggling to please me, or to do what I thought pleased me, I was never satisfied. Then I turned around and I started working and struggling to try to please somebody else. I still wasn't satisfied. It was not until I began, and don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting up here trying to say I got a halo over my head and that I walk on water. At least I don't walk on water all the time, but I'm not going to get into that right now. My point is that after a time, I came to realize that until I focused all my efforts on pleasing my Creator, pleasing my Father, or our Father, should I say, if you will, then I got no satisfaction. Yeah, I'm doing some Rolling Stones, too. I didn't get no satisfaction until I began to struggle and to strive to please the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I yet fall short of that. However, my life today is much better because I have that guidance and I have that direction to focus my energy on the heart, the center. The center of my life is God himself. And everything else radiates from there. So I'm looking at love. And having said that, I'm going to go around. And if anybody on the panel now has any closing remarks, anything they want to say, please feel free to say that. You know, not in any particular order, anyone that has anything to say.
Well, if we all jump at once, but I would say in the end that, one, it's always an honor to talk with our people. And you can tell that black people are truly on the road to where Almighty God intends us to be when random minds of us can come together and have a discussion like this at such a level like this. Now, all of us are from different walks of life, and to come and unite on a single idea, this is a picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. You know, showing love, or as brother said, us making love for 2 hours on a good thing. You know, this is how we as a people grow. You know, we all spend time talking. You know, my grandfather used to say, y'all spend so much time talking, at some point you got to be lying. But he had a point. You know, he had a point, because we spend so much time talking about nothing, and we know nothing is not infinite. So we spend so much of our day, so much of our week, so much of our year talking about nothing. And really what we talk about is the messages that we repeat, and these messages that we repeat program into us. So we saying nothing and we ain't doing nothing. So for us to come together and talk about this, it really shows that love is setting in, because we're starting to grow mentally and theologically and philosophically and physically into what God, you know, wants us to be. So every time we can do something like this or sit and listen to something like this, well, this is the best show of love, you know. What's love got to do with it? You know, love is everything,
right.
and it's not a secondhand emotion. You know, it's everything. You know, it really is everything. And like in Corinthians it says, if I have not love, if I have not charity, I don't have anything. You know, it's love that allows us to sit here and have a discussion like this with different thoughts and different ideas and make them meld together into one thing. That is how you know that verse is correct, that whenever we are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. So because this is the time that God came, this is the time that all the prophets of old wished they could be wayfarers in. This is the time that the dead are rising up and waking up. And to hear this truly is the affection that stimulates love in me to continue to give of my time, my life, my sacrifice, my prayer, and my death to do the work, you know, and it makes me love my people. You know, we talk about, our people do this, that, and other, but, you know, we don't give enough credit to us who really are awakening and are a little bit above the scriptural bone shaking in the valley, you know. And we can do this, it really lets us know that it lets us know God came. Because you imagine us on the slave in the cotton fields talking about love to this degree? Could you imagine us even in the 20s and 30s talking about love to this degree? Could you imagine us being robbed of everything talking about the principle of God and love to this degree? That's how you know God came. Because now a knowledge has been disseminated through us that we can even talk like this. You know, just Minister Sean, who's over the Augusta Study Group with the Nation of Islam here in Augusta, Georgia, he said something we were just talking, shooting the breeze, and he said something that was funny, but it was deep. you know, we talk about wonder waiting on God to come. Well, hell, as so much knowledge as we have, if he came now, we consider him late. You know, he's like, well, he's talking about, you know, he would break the cross and kill the swine. Well, we know all the tricks and lies of Satan, and whether you even in the Nation of Islam a lot, we know all the tricks and lies and deceits and all these things. We know the evilness of swine. We know the condition of our people in our community. The Mahdi came now, well, what's left for us to teach us? People like, man, you late. What are you going to tell us now? So you know God came. Because we have this type of knowledge, we have this type of love, and we have this type of teaching, we can have this type of conversation. So a long way to say is just I'm in a closing that I'm happy to have been a part and to talk and to just spend a little time. You know, I was cooking and doing laundry, doing a little laundry or whatnot while we were having this discussion. So it was a great way to spend my time. I hope everybody else felt the same.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
I just want to know when he's going to start teaching.
You said, when he going to start?
Yeah, in Augusta. Well, we can come, we can come to your mouth. We can come to your mouth, Brother Eddie.
Well, I'm just happy now to be a private soldier. You know, just, you know, you got to learn to follow instruction before you can give instruction. So I'm just happy to be a private soldier, just happy to, just to carry out instruction and do the best that I can to help. But, you know, this is we all got to get involved, and getting involved is how you grow. You know, we don't have to have a post to be a teacher. You don't have to have a position to be a minister to people. You don't have to have any of that to be that, you know. So when you, as the book says, when you're faithful over little, he will make you a shepherd over much, you know. So I didn't come to the Nation to get a post.
That's
right.
I
came to serve, and if leadership finds me worthy and necessary, then that I'll do. But we don't come to this for us. We are so small. I'm like Muhammad said, we are so small. And God has to come stand behind us to make us the 10. We the 0, and he's the 1 that stands behind us. So, you know, I have been granted the blessing of being able to serve as prison minister here, so I hope to help the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talking in the prison and trying to help give a teaching that will reform us, because we know the prison industry is not meant to reform us. It's an industry, you know, so that's one way I want to help to serve. And just talking, all of us, you know, the Quran says he will send saviors, so every single one of us is a savior. Every single one of us is important, because not one of us can teach all the 40 or 50 million. But 40 or 50 million can teach one another. So we all are student ministers. You know, we all
trust. That's right. That's right. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. We're coming up on 2 minutes, 18 seconds. If you would, give us the lineup for the week.
Well, before I do that, Brother Kareem, you have time to take a question they've been holding for a while.
Okay, well, that's fine. Let's do it. Let's take that question.
Area code 919. Your mic is live. Area code 919.
Hello?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thanks, love. In the name of Allah, in other words, in the name of love, I would like to let every brother and sister know that I appreciate the dialogue. I listened since 9 o'clock, and everything that I've heard, I believe to be true. And all praise is due to Allah. And when it comes to love, I love you all. I can't see you, but I love you all. And love is not always seen. Love is sometimes just felt. And I feel the love right now. You know, and it's almost like a human being that I pass in the street every day, especially of our nation. I can't see exactly all the time the love, but I can feel the love. Love is transparent, you know. And with that being said, I would just like to say all praises due to Allah, and I love you all, and all have a good night.
Thank you, dear brother. What's your name?
All praise to Allah.
Brother Khalid Muhammad.
Yeah. Yes,
thank
sir.
You so much, brother. Love you much. Thank you.
Same to you all.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
this is my little brother, Khalid.
That brother loves you too, brother. Love you too.
Absolutely. Okay. That's it, Brother
yes,
Kareem.
Yes,
oh, the lineup for the week. Okay, I'm sorry. Tomorrow, join us for Out on the Front Line with Brother Jihad at 8 p.m. Central. He has a ton of people on the show, including Student Minister Willie Muhammad, Student Minister Charles Muhammad, Brother Ray Muhammad, Sister Ati Muhammad, and Sister Dawn Muhammad, and somebody else. Brother Maurice Muhammad. And join us for Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central for DJ Black Season and Friends Show. On Thursday, join me for a very intriguing, controversial topic called The Black Woman Must Be Sterilized. 8 o'clock p.m. Central.
Boom.
At home. Yes, the black woman must be sterilized. Okay. And
okay,
on Friday at 8 p.m. Central, join us for our live study group. We're going to be discussing the time and what must be done. Part 23 is brought to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central. And on Saturday, we will be back this week with Young, Gifted, and Black, and we got something surprising and in store for everyone. And then on Sunday, Brother Vernon will be back at 6:30 p.m. Central with No Romance Without Finance. And next Monday, we will be right back here with Brother Kareem Muhammad on Conscious Black Nation. And that's the lineup of the week, Brother Kareem.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I have some short announcements before we go.
Absolutely.
Conscious Black Nation is brought to you by Kareem's Construction. Remember, beauty is in the hands of the builder. All facets of construction expertly performed at affordable prices. Free estimates. Contact us 314-651-1094. Conscious Black Nation is also brought to you by Kemet Must Go, an eclectic blend of all-natural aromatherapy oils that provide health in the following areas. Dispels negative energy, increases knowledge absorption, helps heal emotional instability, and stimulates pineal activity. Available from Amin Holistic Health, 314-616-2060, or visit our website at www.MINWHOLISTICHEALTH.com. Again, I want to thank everybody who participated in our Making Love this evening. Remember that. I want to everybody that was in the listening audience, particularly to my wonderful, wonderful panel members, Brother Walter, Sister Rhonda, Brother Eddie, Sister Victoria, you, Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad. Remember, as always, the thought is the act is the fact. Hey, we're not going to make it. You got to participate or we're going to dissipate. I leave you as I came in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you all.